Christian Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of Revelation, and we're in chapter 19. I trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. This world hated nakedness. This world hated nails. This world hated our blessed Savior. And now He's getting glory. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess at the name of Jesus that He is the Lord to the glory of God the Father. I'm telling you, we're looking for a day and we're going to be there. We're going to be in that crowd. We're going to be in that room. We're going to be up close. And we're going to be able to see as He is brought forward and the entire world just erupts in adoration and hallelujahs. The glory He will have. Glory He will have and not to be shared with anyone else. Jesus is the center of it all. The Bible says an honor. An honor. You know, one of the things that honors somebody the most is when they receive the honor that the Father Himself bestows. Do you know how much honor God bestowed upon you and me when they gave His only begotten Son? Think about that for a minute. God loved you so much He gave His only begotten Son. He gave His Son. That whoever would believe in Him, He gave Him on the cross, that whoever would believe on Him would not perish, but would have everlasting life. That means never ending. We don't need to say it, but we do because we hear it so much. It's never ending. It doesn't start when you die. It starts the moment you trust Jesus. You come up out of the tomb of sin and you rise from the dead. The Bible says, you He has made alive. You He has quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins. The moment you get saved, He makes us alive. And from that point on, you are walking with Jesus, walking with the Father. The Bible says this is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. Isn't that good to know? You have a relationship with Him if you so choose. You are the one who has to run across the line. You're the one who has to receive the gift. It can't be imposed upon you. He will not force it into your hand. Sometimes you've had a little bit of a fuss with somebody you're close to, perhaps you say, well, I'll get the bill. They say, no, I'll get it. No, I'll get it. And you're like, no, no. And Jesus is the only one who's got any strength in this game. He makes for honor and He honors us by just loving us, bestowing His love upon us, giving His life for us. That's honor to us. But here's where Jesus gets His moment. Because what happens now is very interesting. When you see the word honor in this context, I want you to know what God gives the Lord Jesus. He said, all that the Father has given to me will come to me. The idea is this, is that right now it's getting right up close to what? The marriage of the Lamb. We've already had 7 years that we were raptured out of here. We were with Jesus in the wedding chamber, if you will. We come back for the reception. That's how they did it in biblical times. A groom would come, remember? Awake, the bridegroom cometh. He comes and gets his bride. He takes her into his own house. And for 7 days they're there. And then after that, they come out for the wedding reception. So when you see Jesus at the wedding and turning water into wine and all that, that all happened after the wedding was consummated. You and I will have been there. We're coming back. The honor is going to be now. All of the spirit of just men made perfect. All of the people of all the ages who worshipped Him and believed in Him. People before the law. People during the times between Adam and the times of Noah and the flood. And then all of the people that comes. And there's very few that kind of almost, you know, flickers out, right? Coming up to the flood. You got 8 people getting on the ark. But then you have to rebuild, and God pulls out Abraham, and then you've got a nation, and then you've got people hearing about that nation, and people, and more people, and it's a long train, but always a remnant, it seems, but not now. Now everybody is going to glorify Him. All the angels are going to be there, all of them. The Bible says, much people. So we're not talking about the people who are just one faceted. This is much people. Like the Bible is going to tell us about the armies of the Lord are going to come back with Him later when Jesus breaks the sky. The Bible says, they said, salvation and glory and honor. And what the greatest honor will be at that time will be all those souls that are His, especially represented by the bride. You know, the Bible says, he who finds a wife finds a good thing and has obtained favor of the Lord. What a neat word that is, right? Guess what? Jesus got a bride. Isaac got a bride. Eliezer, go get me a bride for Isaac, you know. And he says, don't do me bad here. Go get him. Go get him. Bring him home. Make sure it's not this one or that. We got to do this. And Jesus has been looking for a bride for 2,000 years. And He's found one here and one there. He found me. If you're His child, you're part of the prize. Honor. God Himself brings this arrangement together and He gets honored. And power.
Power, why? Because thy kingdom come. Thy kingdom come. And everybody was acting like, well, it just popped out of nowhere. I personally like the show on TV. It's the History Channel. It's called Alone. These guys are out there and they're kind of muscling through. They got 10 items and they got to make their way. They're usually heading into some really bad cold weather or something. Sometimes they can't get any food. But when they get food, they're so thankful for it. And they just say, thank you, Buck. Thank you, Fishy. I'm like, wait a minute. And I'll tell you what, a couple seasons ago, they had a Christian man on there who was a pastor who'd been kind of beaten up by life, but he was doing the Alone show, and he won. He's thanking Jesus. I thought, if he doesn't win, I'm going to be surprised. He won it. His name was, by the way, Dave. Okay, he won. And so, you know, I can vicariously love that, because he'd be sitting there and be all in a funk, but he'd just start praising the Lord, and he'd be okay. He was able to, and he was still doing good when the time came for his children to be brought to him on that island because nobody knows who's on or not in the backstory. So he didn't know he was done. He was still going strong. My point is this: his glory, his power is going to be revealed. Everybody's going to see his power, that he's the one who created the world. He's the one who sustained it with the word of his power. He's the one who upholds it by his right hand. He's the one who cast the world into place and it all stayed fast. He is the one who saves. He is the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the ending. He is awesome. And he's powerful. You know, we see the pages of Scripture, and it's very natural for us to read it and think in our minds of him being in a robe with sandals on, a little bit of wet sweat over his face because it's hot out there in the Middle East, and seeing him walk all those places and maybe go up those hills and down in those valleys and around and enjoying a little water at a well or by a river. We can see all that by the fire at night, but you know what? That was nothing like what he really is. And we sometimes see him so lowly. There's not a friend like the lowly Jesus. But I'm telling you what, Jesus is anything but lowly in reality. What he did was he condescended on such a low level that he came as a baby, one of the most vulnerable of all the species of God, the human baby. He had to be changed. He had to be fed. He had to be taken care of. He had to be brought along. But God became flesh. God became flesh. And he dwelt among us in such a way as even the shepherds could come. In fact, we're invited specifically, so you and I would know, we too have a place alongside the manger. Now, the Bible says power. It's all unto him. Hallelujah. What are you going to talk about? Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. You know, just praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Well, what are you going to praise him for? You know, we get sometimes in those times where we're having Thanksgiving and then let's go around the table and everybody say something they're thankful for. And we're like, oh, wait a minute. When you think about Jesus, you need to think of some stuff. You need to, as they say, you need to go there because Jesus is worthy. And hallelujahs are due him now. Let's not wait for our praising to begin when we're glorified. It'll be really easy then because that's what we will be tailored to do. Your voice will be perfect. Your pitch will be perfect. The resonance, the timing, everything perfect. But right now, in our clumsy way, we need to praise him with hallelujahs. There was a story about a man who had a couple of daughters, and one of them was severely crippled. He went away on a little bit of a trip and gone for a little over a week, comes home. As he gets out to the fence, two other daughters run out that got all the health and all of the vim and vigor and joy. And they come running out and give daddy a hug, but this little girl got left behind. Everybody was so excited they forgot about her. And she stumbles and she crawls and she sees some flowers and she grabs them. She's elbow to elbow and she gets to daddy. And she says, I love you, daddy. I love you, Daddy. And he hugs her, takes her up, and when he sees the hand, he says, what you got, honey? And she always crumpled flowers. And tears came to his eyes. That's what we have to give. But tears come to his eyes when we give them. Isn't it amazing how hard it is for us to give them? We need to praise him. The Bible says not only are those things due his name and the hallelujahs that are in this chorus, the Bible says for, and that's a word that is of purpose, for true and righteous are his judgments. So if we want to amplify the last word, which is his power, he's the one that brought down the Babylonian system. You see those cities out there, you see those beautiful buildings out there, you see those pretty houses out there and those trimmed lawns. They're all the things that seduce us away from Him. It's very hard to have wealth and good things without getting a little bit overwhelmed by it to where we don't need Him as readily. We pray more when we are in lean times, it seems, does it not? You've heard somebody say, when all else fails, pray. Okay. I want to put a sign up. We may find it out there in a few weeks. I don't know. But before all else fails, pray is what I'm thinking, right? Because it's failing out there. And we need to pray now, because if you pray, wait for everything to fall apart, what you're going to end up finding is you might be left behind when all else has failed. You need to get on the ark now, right? You need to run to Jesus now. Because true and righteous are His judgments, and His judgments involve being a mighty man of war. Jesus is a mighty soldier. He was the captain of the Lord's host at Jericho when He showed up with Joshua. Who are you? Are you for us or for our adversaries? He wasn't there to take sides. He was there to take over. Because He's a mighty man of war. And He set the battle at Jericho, right? And when He set the battle, what ended up happening is He spoke the words. The walls fell down. Nobody lifted a sword yet until those trumpets were done blowing and those walls fell down. Nobody did anything but the mighty man of war. People died that day. Why? Because they were filled with filth and sin and wickedness. We looked at that last time we were looking over there in the book of Leviticus 18. But it catalogs the incest. It catalogs the immorality. It catalogs the child sacrifice and the bestiality and the adultery and the fornication and the burning of children in fire. It catalogs that these people were culpable inside that city. People say, well, I'd never really be able to worship a God who would do something like that. I'm talking, what would you do about the person who's doing those things? You're watching it happen. They're taking the baby and getting him ready. They've taken him up to the altar of Baal, and they've got him hanging him up over their head. They're hanging him by an arm, their leg. They're just holding him up, and they're offering him, and they throw him into the fire. And it was called Tophet, which was the place of the drums. Why did they have it the place of the drums? Because there was so much screaming. The children were scared. They were little babies, and they were going. And they knew it wasn't being held with love and cradled with care. What it was death in the air. And they were screaming, and the drums would hit louder and louder and louder. And Tophet was the place of the drums. Would you think that that would be worthy of judgment? Do you realize our world may look pretty on the outside, but down deep inside our hearts, there's nothing but sin. There's nothing but impotence of face. You know, these people get on TV and they say things. They do movies saying things. They use God's name in vain in a way that is unspeakable, unheard of, and even creative. They just come up with new ways to defile that precious name. Those people then get worshipped by the crowd, and the people in the crowds begin to emulate them. For true and righteous are your judgments. He's worthy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He's worthy. He's worthy. Don't you doubt it. He's worthy. The Bible goes on to say, for He hath judged the great whore, which did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Now, it's an interesting thing, because the great whore is isolated, because the beast is made up of all those other kingdoms. The final realization of Babylon and the political side of things, it's kind of enveloped in it. Remember, the woman rode the beast. It was the woman that rode the beast. And the Bible says this great whore, she did corrupt the earth with her fornication. Now, I want to drill into this for you for a moment, because I want you to understand that the word fornication is the word pornuo. You hear the word porno, and pornography is involved in it. But the word pornuo means to act the harlot. And it comes from the word pornos. Pornos means to sell. So there you get the harlotry, the selling of oneself in evil ways. The Bible goes on to talk about it being fornication, because humanity was made for God. It was made for God, but humanity sold herself to all who passed by.
Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.